Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons. That's me. It's the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they can't get to work. As always in the intro, I'm joined by Joel Did you need your surname again?
Yeah, producer you're really Joel. Trying to get me found out.
Straight over to producer Joel.
Hello.
How's it going in Stratford?
Same as it's been for 6 weeks.
Yeah, I've been having some fun this end today, Joel.
What have you been up to?
Bit of joke fun.
Oh.
I've had it for a while and it's never quite worked, so I've just been rewording it. I just put it out on Facebook for a bit of a laugh. And I put two options. So my personal trainer said that I should do interval training. So when the audience are getting their drinks, I go for a run.
Nice.
First option.
It's a good joke.
Second option. Halfway through the show, I always go for a run because my gym instructor said I should do interval training, right? So I don't like the second version because it doesn't feel as funny, but it's a lot more precise and the punchline is sharper because with the first version, when I say, so when the audience are getting their drinks, when you say that, they know what the wordplay is.
Yeah.
And then they've got to wait for you to go, I go for a run. Mm. So they have to wait to laugh. So I don't like that, right?
Yeah.
But it's a bit of fun because on Facebook, lots of people have been chipping in with their ideas. So I've just been going through those.
Nice.
For example, Ashley Fries, he's a stand-up comedian. He said, how about my instructor has asked me to try interval training, but I find it difficult to go for a run whilst you're all getting drinks. So that is fine because that you don't reveal that I'm talking about an interval until you're all getting drinks, which I like that.
Shouldn't you?
But I didn't like,
if you're
but I find it difficult because that seems, why is it difficult?
Yeah, but if you're
like,
doing it,
a reason.
If you're doing it as part, when you're like part of a, if you're doing it live, right, and it's not part of a one-man show, don't you just want to say, I've just been for a run or I'm about to go for a run because my gym instructor told me to do interval training.
To do interval training, so which is option B.
Yeah, but you say less.
Yeah, so you're saying that's quite...
Just been for a run. My gym instructor told me to...
If I'm on stage after the interval, or if it's before the interval, I say, I'm going to go for a run after this because I was told to do interval training. Yeah, so that's essentially, that's option B.
Yeah, but you just have less... Explaining.
It just doesn't feel that funny by saying interval training lasts for me. But someone did give another nice option... James Wallace, he said, my gym instructor said I should do interval training. That's good, normal sentence. So I'll be on the treadmill during the break.
Nice.
So yeah, I think that's all right. So I'll be on the treadmill during the break. That doesn't, but then why is there a treadmill in the theatre? So maybe
I guess so.
And also during the break should come... Oh, no, no, that is the right order. So I'm going to be doing burpees during the break. So, yeah, my gym instructor said I should do interval training. So I'm going to do some burpees during the break. I like that. To be honest, I think that's nice. I don't like treadmill because why is there treadmill?
Yeah, that's good. And what's really exciting is that in sort of 6 to 8 months, you might get to try that out.
Anyway, that's a bit of fun, wasn't it?
Bit of fun.
Bit of fun for the, bit of fun. But thanks, everybody, if you're listening and you contributed to that sort of that little thread. It's very fun. If you want to find anything like this on Facebook or Twitter or anything, it's at Jokes with Mark on social media. Any feedback from the episodes? This week, we've got Marcus Birdman.
Woo!
Yeah, get your ears around this. You haven't started anything online yet.
Well, no, I'm part of this. I don't. You might have heard of like Phil Nichol and Kerry Marks are doing this Lost Comics
oh,
thing.
Oh yeah.
So I've been doing a bit of that, which
oh, that's good.
Which has been going actually since about. Well, I think we started making films in about January, so I've done several, six or seven of those now. But so
do you want to give it a plug? What's that on?
It's the. It's called the Lost Comics. It's has a YouTube channel. And yeah, so there's a big collective.
Hello, dog.
You heard the dog there.
Heckled.
There's about 30 comics, I think. All sort of all stand-ups.
Oh, wicked! And what are they doing?
Well, we're making little video content, sort of 1 minute films. I think the sort of the notion being that a lot of kind of comics, not necessarily of sort of Phil's generation, but maybe the sort of not the young uns anyway, are slightly having their asses handed to them by a younger generation who are a lot more social media savvy. You know,
yes.
And we don't lack the funny, but we do lack that facility. So I think it's a sort of attempt to, and then rather, you know, and some of us have, myself included, have made attempts to do stuff online or make little films, but not really. You know, we're playing catch up. So the notion was that if we all got together and drove everything that we do through one site, it might gain a bit more traffic. You know what I mean?
That's a great idea.
So that's kind of basically the philosophy of it. And so it's quite lots of good good people. So Phil and Kerry, Howard Reed, Josh Howie, Carl Donnelly.
Kai Humphries
is doing something. Yep. So there's
having a little look now.
Some nice people.
Oh, lots of variety as well.
Yeah. So I think you know, it's we're all but baby steps at the moment. You know, I personally feel, you know, a bit like I'm an open spot with it. You know, I think it's I know how to be funny. I just don't quite know how to be funny in that way yet. So I'm just sort of trying to build.
Like I look at things like TikTok and I'm like, I'd do it if I could think of a way to do it. And I just like, I can't, no, got nothing.
Well, it's funny, yeah, because so much of it is just shite. You know, and you're just sort of kind of going, I'm trying not to sound like, you know, I'm trying not to sound like my dad in relationship to punk rock, you know. Because it's sort of, because probably 90% of everything's shite, punk rock included, and TikTok included, and social media included. But, you know, of course.
It feels like with those sort of things, if you actually put effort in to actually do something genuinely funny, they wouldn't like it. You're trying too hard, mate.
Maybe, you know, maybe. You know, I just need to go and happy slap an old grandma in Tesco's or something. Not that they're allowed in Tesco's anymore.
But you have to have long arms now, mate.
Proper. I'm not allowed in.
No.
I have to wait until they come out.
So you were in Australia recently when this all happened?
Yeah, right? Yeah. I should be there now. So we did.
So you came home early.
Yeah. I was so it should be in the middle of, well, start of Melbourne now.
You do Melbourne, do you?
Yeah. And not every year. I've done it sort of last few years.
Nice.
I'm trying to, and I've more, apart from last year, I've managed to successfully be in Australia and or New Zealand since about 2011, which is, I don't really have a desire to move there. Well, no, I don't have a desire to move there, but it's nice to spend a couple of months.
Well, it's like that with Edinburgh. I wouldn't want to live there, but I like living there once a month every year.
Yeah, for sure. It's, you know, I like festivals and I really like Australia. I like Australian people. I like the festivals. I mean, I've done them with various degrees of success, like Edinburgh, you know, and you can have an amazing time or you can have a bit of a tough time. And I've had, you know, both those. But sort of slightly irritatingly, we were having a brilliant time. I was doing like a treble hander with Ian Smith and Maisie Adams.
Wicked. Oh, yeah, I saw the poster for that.
Yeah, we were just getting on.
Like the best of British sort of thing.
So we had a really good promoter and we were just having the best time. I'd never really met either of them before. I think I'd only I don't think I'd gig with Ian ever, and I maybe done one gig with Maisie. But
I mean, that's sometimes when you go abroad to do things, you're like, oh, please have nice comics. Yeah. That was really nice.
Well, everyone was saying that, and I sort of assumed that they, you know, I'd take their word for it, but I didn't know either of them, and hopefully they were, people were saying to them the same thing about me. But we just nah, mate. Oh boy, you pulled a short straw. As opposed to him, he got a long one. No, so he's
it's like that classic gig. It's like if you go that classic joke. If you go on holiday, oh, you know you always go on holiday with that idiot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And if you don't,
and if it's you,
it's you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes. And so, in another galaxy far away, Maisie Adams and Ian Smith are being interviewed by someone coating me off. But
No, I've already recorded those.
Got them in the can.
Out as a special.
Yeah. We just got on really well as a sort of professionally, and perhaps and because of, or indeed in spite of, we got on really well sort of personally. It was just a real laugh. So it was a real shame to come. You know, I've done those gigs, as I'm sure you have, where you're like, God, it would have been lovely to have come home halfway through. We were having a great time. So it was a shame, but hopefully next year, you know.
Yeah. That'd be good. So as we're talking about jokes and that don't really work, so when you go to Australia, do you have to change much? Like, do you try things and then go, no, not that bit?
I think I've never really... only in a minute way. Maybe like... It was kind of weird because there was a... I was doing a joke... Again, it was funny because it was like... I managed to make the joke work. It was actually something that Lloyd Langford said to me, who came to sort of watch. And it was like I've been doing this joke all the way through the festival. And it was kind of funny because it wasn't working. And I was like, I can't. So I was doing about how Australians are really casual. And I'd been to a wedding. And this bloke walks in and sort of says, you know, g'day, cunts. And then says, do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife, you know? So, which I always thought was really obviously kind of telegraphed.
It's a great joke.
And it was kind of, but I thought it was really obvious that he was the vicar, right?
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that if I said that joke in the UK, well, just as your response to that, you get the joke. Whether you think it's brilliant or not, it's not brilliant. It's a classic show.
It's a great joke.
But it's a perfectly decent, serviceable joke. And they just... never got it. And then Lloyd said, I think you need to really sort of flag up that he's the vicar much more. And I was like, yeah, okay. So I sort of went, and then he got to the altar and said, do you take this woman to be a... And then it worked. But it was literally like the last three days.
That, so that is that they just... That's mad. Is it... Do you find that they're subtle... They're not so good with subtlety over there.
Not really. It's funny, Mark, because I didn't really. A few other comics have sort of said perhaps something like that, or they don't really get this, or they don't really understand that. And I never found. I found them to be. To be honest with you, I find them much easier audiences than the UK. I find UK audiences the hardest audiences in the world because they're so aggressive and so sort of so willing to be truculent and obnoxious, you know.
Yeah, whereas I've never done Australia, but I assume they're like, they come out and want to have a good time.
Yeah, everywhere else seems to come out and want to have a good time. Seems to want to come out and listen to your jokes and assume that you know what you're doing until proven otherwise, and we'll laugh, you know. But you know yourself, of course, that British audiences are so often tanked up.
When you first told me that joke, my first... jump to in my head when you hit the punchline was that it was the husband.
Gotcha.
And then in like a split second I went, oh no, it's the vicar. So maybe that is a slight confusion.
Maybe. It seemed so obvious to me. I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? And I'm sure you've had this debate on this podcast, but what seems obvious to you isn't necessarily because you've written it, so you know what it's about. So it's one of these things, because I teach stand-up a bit, and one of the things I try to sort of say to them is, of course, and again, you know this from writing jokes, is that you start with 7,000 lines, all of which are crap, and you boil it down to two lines that are the sort of pure good bit, right? But along the way, you can start editing out information, most of it extraneous and useless, and so you can get to a point where you've actually, the joke started off being about umbrellas or something, and by the time you've got to the joke that you do on stage, you don't mention umbrellas at all. No. But in your head you do, because you know the joke's about umbrellas, you know what I mean? And then you do it, and I've sort of seen with my sort of students and kind of going, you know, you don't mention umbrellas. And they go, yeah, do. You know, you go, no, you actually don't. And it's only perhaps when you sort of, so often you don't see the wood for the trees, do you? It's so useful. And again, I've been doing this because I've been sort of working with a few people, sort of not directing necessarily, but sort of dramaturging, for want of a better phrase. And that isn't to self-aggrandize or to sort of pat myself on the back. I just think any other set of eyes on your material or your act is so useful.
Well, this is what we find with this podcast. Like, quite often, either I or one of the guests will like to say one of the jokes that doesn't work, and then you just need that other set of eyes, and we fix loads on it.
Really?
Yeah, it does happen. Yeah.
Great. Well, I've got a list.
Oh, God. I mean, I don't know.
I've got a career that I'm hoping you'll sort out for me, Mark.
Oh, here we go. Let's do it. I mean, we've only got half hour.
Oh, it's all right. I've only got 10 jokes.
Oh, perfect. Let's do it. Hit me.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
So I had a think about what you were saying. So the first thing that and I think it's pretty obvious why it doesn't work. I had this routine about the Catholic Church, and I think the reason it doesn't work is because it's a very contentious issue, rather than I think it's technically not funny. Because I have had people come up to after me and gone, "I love that joke." So I don't know if it's a technical issue, but it's one of these.
Have you ever had anyone say they don't like it?
Yes. Okay. I mean, most people, you know, it just doesn't fly, and it's something that irritates me because I think it's a thematic thing rather than it's a structural thing. But so I introduced some line, of which probably plenty of us have, about Catholic priests being paedophiles. You know, it's a fairly generic in. And then I kind of go, I don't understand why anyone would be a Catholic these days, you know. I think, which again kind of starts, people's feathers start to prickle. And then I was like, you know, if you knew what you knew about any other institution, say your bank, HSBC, if you were a member of HSBC and you heard the amount of shit that was on the Catholic Church about HSBC, you'd just leave. You know what I mean? Even for just kind of go, until they've sorted this out, I'm just going to go banking with someone else, you know? But so that's the sort of premise, which never really, people just kind of go, well, I don't know. And you're going, no, everybody knows the information. It's not a big secret. Yeah. Why are you defending this? You know? I even had this in I even had this really weird scenario in where I deliberately threw the bridge. In I did that gig in Hebden Bridge, which you might have done.
Yes.
With and it's full of, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but it's full of lesbians. You know, because Hebden Bridge is full of lesbians. And the joke didn't work. And I ended up having a massive, I'm going, you lot of all people should not be defenders of the Catholic Church. You know, of, and, but it's one of these things, it's just, it feels like untouchable. Like you cannot.
Maybe it's an overload of topics because you've got religion and then you've got paedophile, like it, maybe that's,
yeah, but I was trying to do this, it's a bit, the bit I try to do that I think is, I just think it's, I bit the bit I think is funny and the kind of novel, I'd sort of go, right, Harvey Weinstein, you know, bang to rights, in prison, rightly so, but what, 100 women, 150 tops, but the Catholic Church, you know, and so, and the refrain I keep doing through the set is, but the Catholic Church, and I constantly sort of okay. come back to it. You know, there'll be, so the, as another, I can't think of another example, but I say it'll kind of go, I don't know, Jimmy Savile, you know, bang to rights, rightly so. But the Catholic Church, and it's a sort of repeat, and it just never flies. It's really
so,
irritating.
So would it, so never? So it, like.
Well, sometimes it does. I mean, it does from, I think it does from, a small percentage of the audience who aren't morons.
Yeah. But did would that change in Australia? Did you try it?
I didn't try it in Australia, actually.
I don't know what their thoughts and Catholic, I don't even know much about religion in Australia. Yeah. What, is it same as here?
I'll tell you what, that's an interesting point. Not so much about Australia, but in New Zealand, because it's a very irreligious country, you know, it's not, you know, I mean, even though this is a secular country, most people would sort of go, they're agnostic and or atheist, it's still incredibly religious and Christian in its sort of background. Whereas New Zealand just isn't. And so even if sort of like their sort of common morality is very, and I've noticed people be much more irreligious. I remember Reg really kind of, not, it says unfair to say because I admire Reg very enormously, but he was struggling with a bit because
D Hunter,
yeah, D Hunter, yeah, that one.
Reg the
Hunter. Whichever Reg is a Reg Arnold pairing. That one, Reg E Watts. that one. But he was kind of going, but his line was, is this too kind of controversial for you? And it was a bit like, nah, no, you're completely allowed to say it. So I don't know.
Just don't give a shit.
They don't care. They don't really, because they don't find it. It's not a sort of a hot potato, you know. So it's a weird one. But so I see. So that notion really, I didn't really find that it was a technical problem. I think it was just.
I think the concept's great.
Yeah, I think so. And it's one of that ones, you know, that you just. By that repetition of something and then it becoming more slightly out of context. I love that what's his name? Stu Francis, you know, and then I rode back and each time he does it, it gets more, enjoy the rep, you enjoy the callback, but you also, because it gets more and more ridiculous and bizarre where he's rowing back from. And I like that as a sort of comedy trick, you know, and it should. Yeah, it's one of those things you go, and I'm not saying it's an amazing joke, but what, you know, I've been doing this for 20 years, you know, sort of things that should work in theory.
Did you get more silly with that? Because those two examples were both quite your normal serious one. I was wondering, is there anything you could do that goes more silly that it's nothing to do with?
Yeah, perhaps that's an interesting point. No,
like something I don't know how silly you could go with it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point, actually, Mark. And that's something I found, that something that was something that I did want to say to you, that it was quite a broader topic. But I found, in general, if I've tried to be, and this might fall under this category, if I've tried, I wouldn't say I was a very political, well, no, I would say I was not a political comedian by any stretch. But I think there's a sort of broad left of centre socio-political kind of standpoint, at least, you know. But I've felt if I've ever tried to raise an issue like the NHS should be supported or something, it always sounds overly earnest. And
yeah.
And that's the death of any comedian, isn't it, to be earnest? And I've found that to make it if you make it silly with a silly example is often my route to making something work.
Yeah.
Personally, you know, and I admire people, and there aren't many people who are good political comedians. I think, I don't think it's the right client. It's interesting, you know, we might get there what with sort of Boris and the current situation, yeah, that political comedy might come back more to the fore, but I don't think it's not very...
Yeah, this comes up quite a lot where comics say they try it,
yeah,
and it just doesn't,
yeah,
fit.
I don't think there's an appetite for comedy, political comedy, no, really, currently. And I think, you know, you can count the amount of good ones on one hand. And I don't think that's because they're not very good. I just think, you know, there's not a sort of market for it, so people don't extend that muscle. Maybe.
And then it might all shift at some point.
Yeah, it might. As I say, when things have got a lot more bizarre over recent months and issues.
It's crazy, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, who knows what's going to happen?
Mm.
It's almost like the whole thing's reset, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, no, I'm sure some really good things will come out of it if we don't die of starvation in the meantime. People will surely need a laugh after this, I would have thought. So that's my sort of glimmer of hope.
It's strange because I feel like we'll be the last back to work, because I think people slowly go back to work, but they're not going to have gigs straight away, are they?
I don't know.
I think it's going to take a little while.
I don't know. I mean, I suppose if people are going to go back to work, promoters are going to go back to work. So they need to make a living as well as much as we do, don't we? So people don't open comedy clubs for comedians' benefit.
No.
You know what I mean? They don't go, because I love comedy so much. I mean, you know, one of my great laments is that people who work in comedy who aren't comedians don't love comedy. but, you know, they're going to need to make a living. So they will open clubs and bars and whatnot. So
just depends if the government say you can't.
Sure.
You know, I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah. It might be like a slow release. Anyway, that's depressing.
Mm.
What else have you got down?
So I had another routine. About, it was something that I can't remember what we were talking about global warming with someone, and he was, his stance was, well, humans will invent a way out of it, you know, rather than this notion of we should fly less or drive less or whatever. And he was like,
right,
we'll, and to an extent I sort of agree with him to a point, and then but my caveat being, and the bit where I was trying to find something funny about it, was that yeah, humans could invent a way out of it, but we won't. You know, and this notion that, yes, we've got the technology to make mobile phones and all the amazing things that they do. And our keenest minds, however, rather than trying to find ways to cure AIDS or global warming, are too busy making apps for Apple, you know? And I thought that was a kind of funny sort of premise.
That's a good angle.
Yeah. And the bit I was sort of trying to do that was, so I sort of said in I can't remember the actual date, but it was sort of the late 19th century, Louis Daguerre invented the first photograph. 2 weeks later, his assistant, and this is a true fact, which again I thought was sort of funny, which tied into this. 2 weeks later, his assistant was arrested for selling photographs of a woman fellating a horse.
That's not,
right?
That's not true.
I don't know. I wasn't there, but wasn't me. But so the
that sums up humanity.
And to me, exactly, it's exactly that. That seemed to me to sum up A, humanity, and B, my notion of like, yes, humans could invent a way out of it, but we'll do is find ways to, you know, profligate pornography or some nonsense.
Sex it up.
Yeah, because that's what humans are interested in. You know, I don't know whether it was too clumsy or it just didn't work. And I sort of had this extra bit where I go, you know, 4,000 years ago, the Mesopotamians invented the wheel. But it was another 2,000 years before anyone other than the Mesopotamians use the wheel. And so for 2,000 years, you know, their Egyptian neighbours who were busy pushing rocks to make pyramids looked over the fence at Mesopotamia and sort of thought, nah, that'll never catch on. You know, and I just, it's sort of, it's this notion that, that humans have the ability, but we are smart enough, but we are too stupid to realise.
I thought you were going to say something like make up a fact that like 2 weeks later, all they used it for was shagging on.
Right.
Or something.
Yeah, maybe that's the, I'm too busy looking at the truth. And I, yeah. And what I need to do is make it sillier. Maybe you're right.
It's a great point. Did you give any examples of what they could do?
No, you see, maybe that's where
the trouble
I need
is,
to go.
Because nothing's invented yet, you can't really sort of put that in a scenario because you don't know what it is yet, I suppose.
Yeah.
Like with electric cars, that's something, isn't it, that's meant to help eventually.
Mm. Oh, that's another joke I always used to do. I had a joke recently that never really worked. I thought was funny. Was you know, driverless cars? Why are we busy doing that? You know, and driverless taxis. I've got to be honest with you, I'd miss the racism. and I always thought that was kind of funny, and it never really worked. Maybe it doesn't. I don't flag up enough that.
Maybe if you give both examples. So you having a driverless car and then the taxis and you go, I'd miss the racism. Maybe it could be you that's doing the race in your car. That's what you'd miss. But then you'd be sitting in your car anyway.
Yeah, because
that doesn't make sense.
But my point being that taxi drivers are always... not always. That's a ridiculous thing to say.
Yeah.
Quite often. I mean, I think actually, you know... The number of times I've seen people be openly racist and mean it, it's few and far between. But they pretty much, 9 times out of 10, been taxi drivers. You know, I mean, you don't see people be openly racist, really.
No.
But taxi drivers, for some reason, are a few examples I've had where people have been, you know, a bit like, well, it's their fault, isn't it? You know, and... country's gone to the dogs type, which you don't. I haven't really got another scenario. So maybe it's just me that thinks taxi drivers are racist, but I don't think so. I think that's a fairly common trope.
Maybe you saying you'd miss it, they don't like.
Yeah. Well,
it's clearly that's the joke.
But that's clearly the joke. You know what I mean? I think you sort of go, well, I don't really miss it. I mean, that's clearly, you know. But I think sometimes people take you a bit literally, don't they?
Maybe you need to change it to Uber drivers. Maybe people are like, what is this taxi driving?
But Uber drivers, I mean, maybe again, Uber drivers tend to be Asian,
yeah,
don't
yeah.
they?
Yeah, international.
Yeah.
I'd miss the...
International. Is that the...
Or maybe they'll add the feature to the car.
Would you like some wipes? And would you like some racism?
Yeah. You select it actually when you get in.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'll have some wipes, but not the racism.
Anything else? We've got probably time for one more.
I had another routine where these are again, this is a fact, which I just think maybe that's why I'm maybe I stopped quoting facts, but
where do you get your facts from?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
Is it just stuff you hear, right? And then you think,
oh, I've made them up. You know, no, I don't know. I they could be erroneous facts, I suppose, but they sound quite true. So here's a fact. Apparently, in space, astronauts have permanent erections. Because there's a sort of gravity, and there's something to do with what your sort of blood does under those circumstances that, like it's sort of I don't know why, but apparently this is a true fact. Sounds crazy. It's a bit like, have you heard the one about if you have amputees have an erection for a couple of weeks? Do you know that?
No.
Well, this is apparently true as well. That if you, so say you had an accident and you, your leg, they take your leg off. Obviously, you've got, your heart is calibrated to pump around an object that is now considerably smaller.
Right.
So there's only one place that can go for the sort of extra bit, is that you, yeah, you'll have an erection until you're...
Thank God they invented Viagra.
Yeah, yeah. So apparently that's...
quite extreme.
Apparently that's a true fact. And apparently this is also a true fact. And it's a weightlessness thing, not a sort of space is sexy kind of thing. But I thought this was a funny premise. And the idea, yeah, that... however, that there are... You know, imagine that conversation... each morning between Buzz Lightyear and Buzz, you know, each day,
Aldrin.
Buzz Aldrin, sorry, not Buzz Lightyear. Yeah.
Woody's up there.
Woody's up there.
Oh, Woody.
Of course he is. There you go. Of course he is.
He's got Woody.
Yeah, there we go. Maybe that's the place where I need to go with that. But the fact that, you know, the notion that each morning, Neil Armstrong says to Buzz, you know, is that a gun in your pocket, or are you just pleased to see him? You know, and it's sort of like it's the joke that keeps on giving. You know, that it's really irritating to Buzz Lightyear because he says it every day, and I just thought that was quite a funny premise.
Yeah,
and that there were maybe some benefits to a permanent erection, like being able to thwart an insolent dwarf. somewhere to hang your coat in a busy pub. I know there's all these bits I just sort of thought were kind of funny, and nobody. Nobody
is
there
something in one small step for man,
one massive cock?
I don't know.
I think you're taking broader strokes, which is maybe what I need to do. I'm too clever for my audience. This is the problem.
It's great, man. It's informative and funny.
Well, it's informative, but it clearly isn't funny. That's,
maybe you should do TED Talks.
That proof is in the pudding, I think.
Yeah, you know. I'll crack it, man. We've done the time. That's great, mate. That was all gold.
Good.
Lovely.
Good. Interesting to talk about. Funny to talk about. Yeah.
Yeah, man. I'll have you back on sometime if you want.
Yeah, I'll give you an update. I'll try those things out. And Woody.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that would be good. Yeah, because then I can report back on it. Although you're not going to be able to try it out for about 6 months.
6 years. Yeah, I'll see you in 6 years.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, that's great. What I'll do is I'll send you my email address, and then
I'll send you that record.
You can chuck me the file, and then yeah, all good.
Good, man.
Perfect, mate. Thanks for doing that. That was really good.
No worries. Nice to speak to you. Good luck and everything.
You too, bro. Take care, mate.
Take care. Bye, bye, bye.
Bye, dude. Marcus Birdman,
the flipping Birdman.
The Birdman, a film I very much dislike.
Do you?
I hated it with a passion, especially because everyone loved it so much.
There's not enough.
I didn't get it.
Karate chopping in it for you, is there?
Not enough.
Not enough explosions.
And you'd think Birdman, maybe. I mean, it was a while ago it came out. Maybe I was thinking it was like a superhero movie.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like a knockoff Superman.
You like explosions and
it's
guns.
Superman, but he has to flap his arms.
Yeah.
What do you think?
It's all right.
I couldn't work out whether you just, you know, dumbfounded by
but
it.
But there's already a superhero named after a bird, isn't there? Robin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So what's your point, Joel?
Just fun. Isn't there Hawkeye as well?
Yeah. Anything else?
Falcon Man. Vulture?
Oh, he's off and out on a limb.
That's a lot of
Falcons,
fun.
Falcons, they're off and out on a limb. That's one of mine.
No one else wants it. Yeah, that's just some good bird chat. Thanks, Marcus Birdman.
Yeah. Oh, that bit flew.
Fuck off.
Yeah. Oh, that'll ruffle some feathers, won't it?
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
I think we've beaked. I feel like we've done this before in an outro.
A bird? No, we haven't done a bird one, have we?
Haven't we had a bird-related act before?
I don't know. We've done too many of these.
Johnny Eagle or something. We had someone. I don't know. Any feedback for the episode or any other birthday?
I don't think we want to hear any feedback.
At Jokes with Mark across all social media. Yeah, hope everyone's locked down still okay and you're still cracking on and staying safe and washing your hands and all that business. Let's hear it for Joel. Round of applause for Joel. You deserve a bit of attention, Joel, in the lockdown.
Thanks, Mark.
Doing all your editing.
Thank you, mate.
We appreciate it. We appreciate it. Hashtag Awooga to you, Joel. Oh. And hashtag Awooga to Marcus Bourbon, because we forgot to give him a hashtag Awooga.
And hashtag Awooga, everybody.
Unbelievable. I thought you were going to give me one then.
Well, you're part of everybody.
Actually, that's funny. It's not a day if it's funny, but my first ever radio appearance, I think, was when I was about 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was promoting his business on the radio, local radio.
Yeah.
So that all the family were listening and I went on with him. And I think the DJ said, is anybody you want to say hello to? And I said, hello to all my family. And he said, what about your mum? And I went, she is my family. That's almost exactly the same as what just happened then, Joel.
It is. I've got the wit of a four-year-old Mark Simmons.
And that was the point I was making. Anything more from you, Joel?
Nothing more from me, Mark. Anything more from you, Mark?
Nothing more from me, Joel. Hashtag Ooga, everybody. Keep it real.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.